Welcome back to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Tonight, we actually have a game in the Steam, Steel, and Murder universe. This was a one-shot game I ran for the online convention known as MonkeyCon. MonkeyCon came about from a group of fans that listened to the Monkeys Took My Jetpack podcast. We gathered for the third time and played mini-games. This was the game I ran. The players were Sharon, Grimpen, John, Garth, and Dirk. This adventure takes place during Season 1 of the Steam, Steel, and Murder canon. Enjoy Part 1. Alright, so, let's see, everyone has chosen characters. It looks like, John, you've gone for Lance Hughes.
Yep,
go ahead.
I was saying Lance Hughes, defiant ticket, fashionable, high-flying circus acrobat, so he's the trapeze Lothario. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, if once I name the player and the character, if you want to tell me a little bit about the character, you can just read off what I've already done on the pre-gens, or if you fleshed him out a bit, that's fine, too. So John has Lance Hughes there.
So he's a high-flying circus acrobat. His description is dignified, articulate, and fashionable. Well, okay, at least two out of three. mouth moves faster than his brain. It's not too far. I can make that leap. His actions are graceful. All the girls he does please. Tune in right from the song. And he works without a net in more than one way. of course, if you want to go for his skills, he tops out athletics, followed up by physique and stealth. Then at the fair level, he steals stuff, fight and rapport. And then average is will, lore, notice, and contacts. And for his stunts, he has hardcore parkour. He has Senko always way out, and he's a body language reader. Okay, and because of his physique at plus three, he's got four stress boxes, and his will's at plus one, so he only has three. So he has three stress boxes for that.
All right, and John has filled in a lot more than I did for the basic sheets. If you guys haven't, the rest of you haven't filled out anything more, that's fine. This is one of the options in Fate Core. Used to be called Fate on the Fly, where you just come up with your main aspect, your main problem. And your level 4 or plus 4 ability. Then as we play, if you haven't yet filled in your sheet, you can decide as we play, hey, my character would probably be good at this skill, and then you mark it in at the level you want it in. So you can kind of get to know your character as we play if you haven't already filled everything out. So, Garth. Garth is playing Manny Rasmussen. Say hello, Garth, and tell us a little bit about Manny.
He's not online.
He's not online yet. Okay.
we'll skip. He'll be last.
And we'll go to Sharon. Sharon, are you going with Brian or Brianna Morse?
I'm going with Brianna Morse.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about Brianna.
Okay, she's brawny, agile, and attractive. She's a former special ops agent with an addictive personality, but she has a little bit of a self-control problem. For her stunts, best foot forward can upgrade a boost for rapport into a full aspect. Grappler, plus two physique bonus to create advantages, and tough as nails. I can reduce the severity of moderate consequence and actually get rid of a mild consequence altogether. My best skill is rapport. And then at good, I took athletics and physique. At fair, stealth, fight, and notice. And then at the average level, contacts, will, provoke, and investigate.
All right, sounds good. And Dirk, you have taken Aubrey Talent. Tell us something about Aubrey.
He's the globe-trotting game hunter. He can't resist a good wager. I haven't filled out all his other aspects yet. I'm thinking maybe British upper class type guy.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, I'll go for the mid-Atlantic accent. His great skill is notice, and I haven't figured out where I'm going to put all the other ones. So they'll be obviously shoot and fight and resources in there somewhere. Stunts, backstab, use stealth to make physical attacks when your target isn't aware of your presence. Lingo, +2 lore bonus when interfacing in a language you don't know. An improvised weapon, spend a stunt, a fate point to remove a disarmed situation aspect.
Oh, so you have the talk loud thing. What? You don't understand me? Let me talk a little louder, maybe you will now.
Yes.
Lingo.
All right, and I'm just going to read off Garth's character until he can join us. He's playing Manny Rasmussen, who is a doctor. He is thin, tall, and unkempt. His trouble is he is extremely focused with a one-track mind. His best skill is lore. Stunts being, I've read about that. He can spend a fate point to use lore instead of any other skill for one roll or exchange, provided you can justify having read it about it. Medical professional, +2 to lore rolls on the medical field of knowledge. And money talks. Mr. Rasmussen here can use resources instead of rapport in any situation where ostentatious displays of material wealth might aid your cause. So this is the happy group of investigators today, and we are playing in the Of Steam, Steel, and Murder world. Is everyone here familiar with this setting, by the way? Or is anyone not familiar with it? I can go over a very basic.
Probably wouldn't hurt to go over because I'm sorry, I haven't listened to any of your podcasts.
Oh, I see how you are, John. I see how you are. Of Steam, Steel, and Murder, it is a steampunk world in the nebulous 1800s. I don't like to nail down the exact year because I like to bring in historical figures from, pretty much the full range of the 1800s. So I don't like to nail down the exact year. This is steampunk in what is not yet America. The main thrust of the game takes place in a city of the future called Metapole, which is a conglomeration of guilds. Guilds kind of control all of the dissemination and intellectual use of different gadgetry, modes of transportation, just about everything. This is a world that has not, the Industrial Revolution hasn't really happened. Things haven't become automated. There are no mass-produced anything. So everything is handcrafted. Most things have maker marks or stamps. But just about anything you could imagine that we have today does sort of exist in one way or another. Like cell phones, they're huge backpack-sized affairs, but they exist. In the city of Metapole, everyone basically has free electricity due to the power or the electric guild headed by Nikola Tesla, who has created broadcast power for all of the city. So everything runs on broadcast power within the city.
Yay. Yeah,
so I'll take care of you're playing the part of guild investigators. You are an organization that, while Metapole has its own police force, since the city itself is actually maintained and ran by the guilds, they are kind of above the law in many respects. However, since there are many guilds that make up kind of the seat of power, they have their own organizations when they have disputes amongst each other, or maybe even disputes amongst the population. And they have special investigators that handle these problems for them. And that's what you're playing. You're all officially licensed guild investigators. You all come from various walks of life. None of you have any particular ties to any one guild. That's actually one of the standing employment recommendations for all investigators, is you have no formal ties with any particular guild, so that you don't show favoritism.
And it looks like Garth is here.
Garth, are you with us?
I am with you.
Woohoo! Garth, you are playing Manny Rasmussen.
I am.
I've already introduced your character. Did you make any changes to the sheet? Did you add any aspects or any skills yet?
I did not.
Okay. So the way this is going to work is as we play the game, anyone who hasn't chosen your skills or aspects yet, as you decide there's something interesting that you would like to have or a skill that you think is useful, put it on your sheet on any of the empty slots that you have.
Yeah, it looks like Grimpen has chosen Eric Leonard's.
Yes. The only change I've made is I put in a drive skill in one of the blank good slots. It seems to fit well with his stunts. Shall I go through his introduction?
Yes.
Short, brassy, and willful. High concept, mechanical genius, obsessed with speed. Trouble, better at relating to machines than people. I can't see how that's trouble. My peak skills at grade is craft, which makes sense, being a mechanical genius. And I just penciled in drive as one of my good skills, because that'll go along well with some of these stunts. Always making useful things, my first stunt. Never have to spend a fate point to declare that you have the proper tools for a job using crafts, even in extreme conditions. I guess I got a Leatherman and maybe some other belt tools.
That sounds actually a little bit more useful from the description. That applies even if you were, for instance, stripped noon and thrown in a jail cell. You still, from somewhere, are able to produce the tool necessary.
Somewhere. Let's not dwell on that point. Yeah, I don't want to use that tool right now. Pedal to the metal. When engaged in any contest where speed is the primary factor, such as a chase or race, and you tie with your drive roll, it is considered a success. And final stunt, ramming speed, exclamation mark. When ramming another vehicle, you ignore two shifts of damage.
I'm sure they
won't ignore two. So I'm guessing I'm the driver of the group.
And default mechanic.
All right.
Give me just 1 second, guys. Just checking one last time on the potential last player. And no response. So we are the group tonight.
Yep.
So here's how we start off. It is 8:20 in the morning on a Friday. You receive a phone call from the guild offices, and you are asked to report down to District 5. And they give you a particular address, which is kind of on the outskirts.
At least it wasn't District 9.
Yeah.
Come
no,
for
no, no aliens are attacking today. No.
Eat some cat food.
Yeah. So, yes, in District 5, kind of in the outskirts, in the suburbs. So this is a residential area that you're asked to report as soon as possible. And you are all at your homes when you receive this call. At that time in the morning, some of you may not have been conscious.
Oh, first I have to let my lady friend from the night previous out the door before I leave.
I just pulled another all-nighter studying my various encyclopedias on medicine, so I'm awake when I get the call.
I'll be at work in the at something, in my workshop, I guess, so I'm awake. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I know what it is I'm working on.
You tend to find out about halfway through.
That's right. What have I built?
I will be at the gym.
There you go.
I'm just coming back from a good night playing poker.
So it's always a good night when it lets out at 8 a.m.
That's right.
Of course, I'm one of those folks that goes, okay, you can use the stairs, dear, but I'm putting on my trapeze shoes and going out the window.
Or perhaps you're leaving the apartment from someone else at the time.
That's also quite possible, too, you know.
Especially because she's married.
So not in for various long. Ways and forms and stages of wakefulness, you arrive at the scene. There are already police that have blocked off the street. The offending house is quite easy to see, as they've already rolled out the police lines. These are the famous Metapolitan police lines that stay up for weeks and months at a time. They almost never seem to take them down whenever they have police events that require them.
So, Bert, mm-hmm. What is the, what's the area like? Is it like middle class, upper class, lower class?
This is middle class. This particular, this is a kind of a cul-de-sac, a dead end area where there are five, they look like single story residences in the area. Okay. The one that you're reporting to is the first one on the right as you enter, the area. Across from it is, another house. They're all in various kind of pastel colors. Nice, cozy looking houses, except for this one, which has police signs up front and a couple of police cars parked up front. As you guys all arrive, you can have your own transportation or you could have taken the public transport. Either one is fine. They have the vacuum assisted subways. So,
what, no overhead cars that I could ride on top of?
Oh, no, no. all underground.
Drats. I don't have drive skills, so I'm taking a tube.
I don't have drive skills either, but I still have a car, a very fast one.
Well, I'm taking the tube.
I'll be taking a car, of course. I can't really see Eric taking the tube.
Well, then, as you have this bevy of cars that park here, one of the policemen break away from the house and approaches your group. You've all have met before. This is not your first investigation together. So you all are at least passingly familiar with each other's skills and talents.
I sort of grunt at everyone. It's a friendly grunt.
Oh!
Hey, how you doing?
The officer approaches you, takes off his hat, scratches his head. Oh, you lot finally showed up, huh? He takes a sip of coffee. I don't know exactly why they called you in here. It seems pretty open and closed, but I suppose the guilds have their own thoughts on things. Here, put these on. He gives hand to each of you basically police identification tags. We got some new guys in the force. We don't want anyone shot on accident, right?
Yeah.
He smiles as if to say he wouldn't mind one of you being shot on accident.
Yeah.
Oh, I put it on immediately.
Same.
Put my name tag on it. As I do so, I look over at Brianna and, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But anyway, you know. I get my usual response from Brianna. I get my usual thing from Brianna, which is basically just a disdainful look, I guess.
Yeah, I'll give him
no,
a grunt.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that with a disdainful look. I just ignore him.
And as you're walking to the crime scene, police officer pulls out his notebook and begins going over the case. He says, well, looks like around 7 o'clock this morning, certain Ralph Warren says he's a milk delivery man. Noticed that the front door was wide open to the residence. Claims he entered, calling out to see if anyone was in need of help, and finds the body of our victim, as yet unknown. Before we were even able to get in there and really look around, we got the call down from the office that we're not to touch this. So he tears off a few sheets of his notebook, and he will hand it to Lance, as Lance is deemed to be the closest one there at the time. So here's our notes on it. We'll hang around unless you've got any questions for us. But looks like this is your shindig. He sips his coffee.
You will keep the crowds away, won't you?
Oh, yes. He looks around. There's like one old woman with curlers in her hair. She's out taking her little poodle for a walk, who seems to be eyeing the house with a great deal of misgivings. Yes, yes. We'll keep back the streaming crowds. Don't you worry. We got some coffee if you want any. The ubiquitous police van has got the back tailgate down, and they've already got a coffee service with a few biscuits set out.
I suspiciously look at him and grab the thermos of coffee that I brought myself, because I don't trust this cheap coffee that
I
don't know.
I'll have some of their coffee, and I'll grunt, thankfully.
I will have some of their coffee, and I will smile very nicely at the person in the van.
At this point in time, relations between the guild investigators and the police are strained at best. Think of it as like FBI agents coming down onto local police territory. That's how you're seen.
Yep.
Big foot nicked and getting all up in their business.
Yeah, I'll walk over to the silver bullet as well and get some coffee. Smile of you, and then I look and now to get names. We got to get names out there somehow. So who's the brains again?
I'm the brains. I am. Are you asking like who's the smart one?
Yeah,
the
well,
doctor, a good doctor.
Yeah, I am the doctor, and I have a good lore.
Well, I'll hand you the notes and say, well, see what you can make of these.
So, what do I make of them?
All right, the notes are actually not more than what he said. It's got Ralph Warren's written down. He's a milkman for. He runs dairy out for. Sorry, I forgot the name here. Let me check something real quick. Yes. He's got a diesel powered truck that he runs out from the farmlands that are outside of Metapole. No broadcast power there, you know. He works for the Agricultural Guild, and they still have him here on site. They've, of course, got the blanket over his shoulders, the standard thing that is done for everyone that's in shock, and he seems to be nursing some coffee. A policeman does tell you that he's there for any questioning you might want to do. We were told not to ask him anything until you arrived.
Do we even have the name of the people who live here?
They said... They said there was an unidentified victim, but yeah, do they know the owners of the house?
In the notes that he gave you, apparently they had phoned in to find out who the owners of the house were, and they were blocked. They were not told who owns the house. The mailbox itself doesn't even have a name on it. Most of all the other mailboxes on the street do.
Any mail in the mailbox? Yeah. Any mail inside the house?
Well, we haven't gotten to the house yet, but if you want to look in the mailbox outside, yes, mm-hmm. yes, there is mail in the house, or in the box.
Mailbox, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll start rooting for it. Someone else can question the human.
Bert, is it possible for me to roll a lore to see if, like, in my tomes and back at my house, I'd ever read about, like, witness protection or something, like something where, like... People's identities
sure. That's something you might know. Go ahead. We'll call it. Oh, we'll give it a fair task. So, give me a lore roll there.
Okay. What die you want me to roll?
4DF. So, if you put the number 4. Oh, are you on the dice roller page?
I'm on the dice roller page.
Okay. Type a 4 under the DF, and then push the roll button there.
All right.
And you're wanting a fair result.
And do not. Click clear dice. Yes, that clears everything from the screen.
Yeah. I cannot see what I got because someone's label is blocking it. But
here, I will read that label. Okay.
I see 4 blue dice. All right, there we go.
And what is your lore at currently?
+4.
+4. So you rolled a 5. That is an astounding success. It actually allows for something a little bit extra in the scene. So, yes, you are aware that the different guilds have safe houses that they occasionally use. There's really not a witness protection program per se, but since the guilds do involve a lot of scientists that like to move about without any real media coverage, or if they need to be, you know, someplace in the down low, that occasionally... the guilds make use of such houses. So yes, you do have some knowledge of that. Okay. As a matter of fact, with that exceptional role you made, this neighborhood in this particular district, you know that, let's see, Trade and Craft have buildings in this area.
All right. Interesting. So maybe we should later give a call to someone in that guild, see what we can figure out.
When you got the call this morning, it was just kind of a generic call. They didn't tell you what guild had requested you go out, just that you were requested out.
So should we...
have a contact, though. You do have your guild contact.
Okay. Should we split up now and have some people question the milkman and some people search the house?
Makes sense.
All right.
No, I'll volunteer to start. People.
All right. Who's going into the house? We'll cover that first.
I'll go in the house.
I will go in the house as well.
Yeah, I'm not good at talking to people.
All right. Well, first of all, what I like to do that's just a little bit different than the standard fate rolls is that I do a scene-by-scene notice roll. So instead of asking you for every little thing to roll notice for me, I ask for one roll now, and this is everyone, not just the people going to the house. Give me a notice roll, and this roll will hold for the entire scene that you're in.
Okay.
If I can ask a quick question, Bert. Because of the fate quick, if I want to put notice into one of my plus one slots, just do it and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then once you stick it in, it's frozen for the rest of the game there, so... Yeah.
All right, so should I actually put down a little note saying what the total is?
You can just tell me what it is once you've rolled it.
Okay,
someone else's blue too.
Okay, so in that case,
And since it is for the scene, yes, you have to choose now if you want to use an aspect to boost that roll or re-roll it.
No, I'll go with, I'm plus three, so I have a plus three.
Okay, sounds good.
I think I'm distracted.
I'm going to go down the row, just down the row here, since I don't know all of your voices yet. Sharon, what did Brianna get for her notice roll there?
A total of a plus four.
Four, okay. Aubrey, what did you get for Aubrey, Dirk?
Plus four.
Okay, plus four. Good rolls today. And what did Manny get?
So you want...
Squirrel!
I thought you just wanted the inside people to roll. Do you want
no,
me to
everybody,
roll?
Everybody.
Okay, this and that's four fun. Fudge dice?
Four fudge dice.
All right.
And then you add your notice skill to it.
Yeah, okay. So I have a plus dice, two minus die, a blank die, and then plus one.
All right, so plus one is your total, okay. And what did Eric get?
This is a fascinating clock over here. I mean, just look at the workmanship on the gears. What? Minus three.
Minus three. Okay. Eric is definitely off in his own world examining something. Who grabbed the mail, by the way?
I did grab the mail.
Ah, okay. That's perfect. That explains why, then.
I'm going through the mail. The there you go.
You're looking at the stamps. You're like, wow. Look at that. I haven't seen that one.
Okay. And then, once again, which characters went into the house? That was Lance went in, Brianna went in, and who else?
Grimpen. Or, sorry, Eric.
Okay, Eric went in with the mail. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Albrecht and Manny are outside, and you guys are going to go question Ralph. All right. Okay, for those that are going into the house, except for Eric, who is going through the mail right now. So far, everything that you have is just addressed to resident. There is a flyer for Pastor Dax, which is the high-class restaurant in Metapole. It's actually in a Zeppelin that is moored to a tower, so it's called Pasternak's Above Metapole. It's kind of fine dining, but apparently they're having a jazz band playing this weekend.
Oh, I'm very interested by this, apparently. Yeah, I must like listening to their music in the workshop.
There you go. The other two, Lance and Brianna, you notice that the door has been forced open. With that roll of four that Brianna got there, looking at it, it looks like the lock and the door frame was sheared off. So you're figuring someone with a very heavy foot just broke the door down from the outside. All right, so when you go in, it's a small house. It is, in fact, a one-story house. It's got two bedrooms and a den, single bathroom and a small kitchen. The thing that draws your notice, of course, is on the entryway floor, is a man in a robe, average height, average build, face down in a pool of blood. Police officer with you says that Mr. Ralph Warrens claims that he did touch the body, making sure that the man was dead and didn't need aid, but didn't go anywhere else in the house. When we arrived, before we were able to examine the scene, we were asked to step back, so nothing else has been disturbed. Right, you lot have fun, he sips his coffee. Let us know if you need any help from us lowly little police officials. Yeah. Steps out.
His sarcasm is lost on me. Oh, yeah.
Of course, officer. Thing is, badge number? No.
Five.
Oh, give the poor cops a break. They're just doing their jobs.
They did better.
All right, so what do you guys do?
Okay.
with a -3 notice, I might not be the one doing it, but any male in the house, identification of the person.
This is useful to go over here at the beginning. Notice roll is basically what you're taking in at a quick glance and anything that just happens to stick out. Okay. If you're actually searching, that's investigation, and that's its own roll. So Eric there, if he actually starts poking around, will have a different, you will roll investigation when you decide to do that. Okay. So you're not out of the scene by getting a low note.
All right. I'll start though by looking for the any male in the house, I guess.
Okay.
What's someone else?
Anything else you're looking for in particular, or are you just doing the once over in the house?
I'm going to do a once over first.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do the same thing too. I'm just going to walk around looking at things
before we start opening and.
Yeah. I'm going to, without touching the body too much, I'm going to look and just briefly see if there's anything on the guy in the robe, or like something in his pockets, or slippers on, which way is he facing, that sort of information.
All right, sounds good. If you guys could clear your dice by just dragging it off the top of the screen, above or below the little lines there. That'll make the dice disappear. Just whatever you do, don't hit the clear dice button.
Yeah. So you can do another roll after that, okay.
Exactly. So for Lance and Eric, you guys give me investigation rolls.
And I'm unskilled in that, so this is going to be interesting. So come on. I rolled
40 fudge is the roll for everything. And then if you have the investigation skill, you add the level. If you have some skills that you haven't filled out yet and you decide that you want investigation to be one of your skills, you can add it to your track.
Are we all in the house right now? I thought some of us were not in the house.
No, I'm asking for Lance and Eric right now only.
Okay.
For investigation roles.
Yeah.
So what did Lance end up with?
One.
A one. Okay. How about Eric after he has finished looking at his advertisements in the mailbox?
That's right. It'll be two. I'm going to put investigate as one of my average skills as well.
Okay, so that's a total of two?
That's a total of two.
Lance, you poke around the house, and you get the very basics. There's two bedrooms. One of them looks more lived in than the other. There's more personal items, books, more clothing, some, you know, a picture here and there. The second room is devoid of almost everything. It has a couple of very generic books on the shelf, the just whatever fiction of the time. It doesn't look like they have even been cracked open. The windows, however, are covered with like a really dark cloth, like, you know, the blackout cloths. And they've been tacked up over the windows, so a person couldn't open the windows or pull the blinds. There's also only one set of clothing in the drawer and hanging in the closet. And that's what Lance gets. Eric?
I do have an operations question. Mm-hmm. Safe houses, are there usually a minder with the person being put in the safe house?
Lance doesn't know that because Eric hasn't shared that information yet.
All right.
Wasn't that me?
Eric's the one who has that knowledge but hasn't shared it with anyone yet.
That was Manny, right? He was the one
was
who...
That Manny. Oh, that was I'm Manny. Sorry. It was Manny who got that. So he hasn't shared that information yet. And he's outside.
I'm outside, yeah.
Oh, that's right. We don't know. It's a safe house. You're right. Oh, okay. We just... This is strange.
They hear a shout from outside. It's a safe house, guys.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
All right. Eric.
Actually, before... quick question, Bert. I missed this earlier. We're starting with three fate points?
Three fate points, yes.
Okay. I'm going to spend one to up that to a... Four, I guess. If that's all right. If it's not too late. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So you're going to up the investigation to a four. Okay, let's see. Let's see what else I can give you extra for that. Okay. Here's what you find. Four is pretty good number for this. Looking through the rooms, of course, you notice the same thing that Lance does. But you also are picking up that someone has... there's some tread marks in the bedroom that has the blackout curtains over the windows.
Okay.
Hardwood floors, and it looks like someone had walked the dirt outside, maybe as if they had walked around the house. It has a lawn, so maybe whoever entered the house by force had taken a look outside before entering. wet shoes, a little bit of mud. You pick out three distinct footmarks here from three different people. These are really hard to see. You happen to be very, very good with your scrutiny there, and you're able to
good with details. Out. That's it.
Three different sizes of shoes. They all look like they're the pattern and size makes you believe that they're probably three men. You're thinking maybe size 10, 12, and 13 shoe.
All right. I'll point these out. I assume Lance and I are probably going through the house together. I'll point them out. So.
No, I almost stepped on one.
No, hold up. And then also the, because you're saying the dirt looks like someone tracking some dirt from outside, so they're probably looking in. And that was from the prints. Could we tell which window they might have entered? Well, no, they kicked in the door.
And no, they kicked in the door is what it looks like. You're finding no other signs that they were entered any other way.
So there's three sets of prints, all from the outside. Hmm.
And it looks like they went through the house. So
it looks like they went through the house.
So they probably kicked in the door, killed this guy, and then looked for something.
One of those might be the or someone. The
Ooh, and this guy could be the minder. That's true. Good point.
So, you don't know that yet.
Oh. All right, that's so true.
We're going to go to Brianna now. So you're looking at the body, but you're trying not to touch it, just seeing what the person's wearing?
Yeah, and if there's like anything in those pockets, I don't want to of the robe. I don't want to move, touch the body in case I see something first.
Sure. It's a particularly fluffy white robe. In the pocket, you find a 10 that has some white pills in it. Otherwise, without moving the body, you can't see any wound physically from the outside. You figure the wound was on the other side. He's laying face down. His right hand is clutched tight, and his left hand is open, palm down, and it's got blood on it. Other than that, you really can't tell much else other than it's a man probably in his late 20s, early 30s. Under 6 foot, but pretty close to 6 foot. Nice haircut. Good condition. That's really all you can tell without moving the body anymore.
Okay, then I'm going to gingerly turn over the body.
Okay, turn the body over, and it looks like he has a wound high on his chest, more to the left side. It's the only physical other. That's all you can see physically. The hand that had his left hand that had blood on it looks like he was alive long enough to clutch his chest. It looks like it's probably his blood. There is a pool of it beneath him, but there's really nothing else that you see. And I'm going to cut for just a moment. We're going to go outside with Aubrey and Manny. You went to talk to Ralph. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Ralph is sitting on the bumper of his milk truck. He's got a wool blanket over him. He's nursing a cup of coffee. Looks up with big round eyes as you approach him.
Before we approach, I pull Albrecht to the side. Like, hey, Albrecht, you ever heard of a good contractor, bad contractor?
Something similar, I believe. Yeah.
All right. Let me just follow my lead. So I walk up and I make sure to motion to tell Albrecht to stand back for a second. I walk up. How are you doing, Ralph?
Not so good given the circumstances.
Well, do you mind if I call you Ralphie, Ralph?
I guess.
Well, Ralphie, look, here's the thing. My partner over here, his name's John, and he really hates milkmen. I don't know why, but he just has this thing. He just makes his blood boil every time he sees one.
Ralph nods sagely, says, "Ah, lactose intolerant, probably."
Yeah, that's probably it. So I don't want to have to bring him over here, but I mean, you got to help me if you want me to help you. So how'd you kill them?
Oh, nice. Okay, first give me a rapport roll. Let's just see how friendly at first Ralph receives you here. So just a 4D fudge roll.
My rapport is good.
Okay.
And let's see. 40 fudge. Roll. Okay, blank minus blank blank plus 3.
Okay. All right, sure, good enough. So Ralph's nodding and smiling along right until you say, so why did you kill the guy? And deer in the headlight look. He starts doing the shifty dog eyes. He's like, I'm just the milkman. I saw the door opened. I went in to see if I could help. I didn't do it.
Okay, so
Ralph does have blood on his hands.
walk me through every single step by step.
Oh, I started my route at 6:20 this morning.
I interrupt him. I put my hand on his shoulder. Ralphie, it's all good. It's okay. As long as you tell me the truth, you don't have anything to worry about.
He looks over at Albrecht.
I kind of give Albrecht the look to like look mean, look angry.
He does his best.
All right. Does Albrecht have any provoke?
No.
Okay. You do your best to look mean then. Apparently for
curls Ralph, up his mustache.
Yeah. Apparently for Ralph, it's enough, and he's like, look, I started my route at 7:20 this morning. This is the first one on my stop on this block. I laid the milk on the door, and the door was open. I went in. I called out first, and I went in to make sure everyone was all right. And then I found the guy on the floor. There's nothing else to tell. I called the police from the truck, and then they gave me some really bad coffee.
Tell me about it. Okay, Ralphie. Well, I think I believe you. I believe you, Ralphie. But
he looks relieved. He keeps looking at Albrecht.
But you know,
yeah, can I use like empathy to gauge whether he seems to be reacting as a non-guilty?
Sure. I will even give you a +2 shift bonus for your good cop, bad cop maneuvering here.
Okay.
Manny did a good job of getting him off foot.
And that give me a total of +3.
Should I go ahead and roll 1-2?
Sure. Sure. You can give me a roll there, too, and take the same bonus.
All right. Wait, let me clear my last die.
I was about to say you should give him a yum-yum, but I forget it's a different system.
All right. So that's 2 pluses, 2 blanks, and then +2.
Oh, yeah. Ralph is scared out of his mind. You believe it. Anything at this point that comes out of his mind is just, you know, is the truth. As well as he knows it, he's too rattled to make anything up.
So, Ralph, do you remember anything, Ralphie, before I leave, do you remember anything strange when you were approaching or just on your route at all this morning?
Well, the door was wide open.
Besides that, Ralphie, I already know the door's open, and I give a look to Albrecht.
He thinks for a moment. The neighbor across the street. He points at the woman who's standing at the police line with a poodle. She was out. She was out already, and she accused me of taking her newspaper.
Did you take the newspaper, Ralphie? I give him
no.
A look. I'm like, okay, Ralphie. Thanks. You've been a great help. Well, go ahead and get as much of the terrible coffee as you want.
Can I go now? I've got
no. I have to be delivered. Couple questions here for you, Ralph.
He shrinks away from you a little bit. He designated the bad cop.
I'm like, Ralphie. I'm like, Ralphie. You told me the truth. He's not gonna get mad now. You've been good. I give him a pat on the back, and then I walk off.
Ralph looks terrified when Albrecht gets up to him.
Is this your normal route?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is. I came out right on time.
How often do you come by?
Once a day.
A day. Have you ever seen the individual who lived here?
No. I usually just leave the milk at the door and I don't knock or anything. I come by early in the morning. Most people aren't up at this time. Except for her. He points at the neighbor again.
You seen anybody else, but haven't seen anybody else but her hanging out around here this time of day?
He thinks for a moment and says,
few weeks?
No, sir.
All right, well, Thank you for your assistance. Give him a pat on the back.
can I go flinch? Now? Yeah, oh yeah, he flinches.
Don't leave town.
But the farm is out of town, and I gotta bring the truck back.
I'm sure you'll work it out.
Don't leave the county.
I want to go talk to the nosy neighbor.
All right. So, Albrecht, you're going to go talk to the nosy neighbor, and where's Manny going after you leave?
I assume me and... Is it Albrecht, right? Is it Albrecht or Albrecht?
Albrecht.
Okay. I assume we get together afterwards. I'm like, hey, so I think we should go ahead and meet back with the other people and see what they found. Then we can go question that neighbor after we've talked and figured out what everyone knows.
All right.
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah. You're the doctor, right?
I am. Yeah, I should probably check out the body. Okay.
All right. So you guys are going to go into the house now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So you guys will walk into the lobby, the entranceway, while Brianna, you've just flipped over the body. So you're looking it over. And so now you guys are all in the same scene together. Eric and Lance, you are done investigating the rest of the house as well. So everyone is conveniently together in the...
Hey, Doc.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big hole.
Yeah, it is a big hole. What do you make of these? I show him the little tin of white pills.
I pull out my spectacles and I examine the pills.
Sure. Give me a lore roll there. Since this is a medicine thing, you can add +2 to the roll.
Yes, I am a medical professional. Okay, let's see. Okay, that is a +8.
Oh, wow. Not only do you know what it is,
I know it is
an analgesic, like aspirin, basically, but you even know the imprint number, so you even know who made this batch.
Okay.
Which pharmacy made the batch.
Can I have the name of the pharmacy?
Sure. Larson's Pharmacy.
Larson's Pharmacy.
It's on the far side of town.
Our prices are Larson's.
It's actually in the same district. It's still in District 5.
Okay.
It's probably, actually, in your knowledge, it's the only pharmacy in this district.
Okay. So we just questioned the milkman, used the classic good contractor, bad contractor method, tried and true. Mm. And we believe he's innocent for now. He's still a suspect.
What we really need is a nosy neighbor. We need a nosy neighbor.
We think we should question the person across the street because apparently she was around when shenanigans were happening. So,
what, the old biddy with the dog?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. So do you all want to split up again and have a group go to the pharmacy and then a group go to...
Doc, putting down at the dead body. Maybe we should, determine the cause of death.
Right.
Not right here. God. Not like that last time. No.
And since I have listened to Bert's fine podcast, you guys block the information to us?
Oh, yes. Right.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes. I will go talk with the woman across the street, however.
Yeah, when you wish to make an info dump between characters, simply say blah. That means you have some info. All right. So the doctor, Manny, are you going to check out the body?
I will.
All right. We'll just go with your same medical role there. It's a very good one. Looks like a single stab wound to the heart. He probably bled out within just a few minutes. It's also the only wound you find. By how clean the wound was and where it was placed, you kind of think that the person who did it was very skilled at this sort of thing.
Can I tell what kind of a object it was?
Well, you can tell it was a double-edged blade of some sort. Oh, since you're a doctor, I'm going to say you have your medical kit on you, so you can, you've got various probes, so you can stick it in the hole. You find out that the blade is in excess of 7 inches long, and since there are no hilt marks in the chest, the blade's probably longer than that. So it's a blade at least 7 inches long.
Okay. And I ask Lance, Eric, and Brianna, did you all find a knife in the house?
No, there, I don't believe we
there
did.
Was some cutlery in the kitchen, but it's all single-edged.
Interesting. I stroke my goatee.
Sword King. I would like to follow these tracks that they found and see if I can follow them outside the house and see where they lead.
That Obrick talking?
Yes.
Ah, yes, the miter. okay, since someone pointed out the prints to you already, it's going to be an easier roll, but it's going to be an investigation roll. You could add +2 to it for someone already getting you started on the track. Good doctor. The only other thing on the body is, once again, how it was posed. It looks like he lived long enough to touch the wound on his chest. He fell forward on his face, one hand outstretched and open, the other palm clenched and kind of to his side.
Can I open up the palm?
Rigor mortis is set in, but you have the tools.
I have the tools.
Yeah.
I have a bone saw.
At this point, I'm in the kitchen making tea, staying away from the autopsy.
The kitchen cabinet is well stocked with tea.
Yeah.
Looks like they were whoever was here were is Earl Grey fans.
Start looting the house.
take
the couch, quick.
Lance, while you're in there, can you make me a cup of tea as well?
As long as the key,
I'll make a pot for make a pot for everybody. How's that? There we go.
That sounds excellent.
Excellent. Oh, sorry, Bert. The one suit of clothing that was found, does that actually fit this guy? I assumed it did.
Well, there's the one room that had a fair amount of clothing in it, and that room seems to be of the correct size for this character here. Of course, and the one suit that is in the other room is a person who's much thinner and much taller.
Okay.
Okay. Oh.
So, can Taylor I have a palm?
Another thing.
All right. So let me just go down the list here real quick. Manny, the doctor. Yes, you take out your clippers and you have to break the fingers to get the hand open. But he is clutching something. There is something clutched in his hand.
A button.
It's actually a matchbook cover.
Oh.
Oh.
Yep. And it looks like it is a matchbook to Pasternak's.
Oh. All
right.
Could be why he is on a mailing list for the restaurant to correspond with the mail you found earlier. Okay. Obrick. What did you get on your roll there, Obrick, for your investigation?
With my investigation and with the +2, I get a +4 total.
+4, very good. Yes, you do track the footprints. It looks like you confirm it was 3 people. They, you know, various sizes. Once again, size 10, 12, and 13 footprints. The shoes on the outside, it looks like they did circle the house. They went around looking through the windows first. Underneath the blacked out windows, there's a particularly nice set of one of the shoe prints here. Like they stood here for a while, and this person was probably heavier than the other two because he sunk into the ground a bit. And so there's a really good impression of the footprint here.
And shoes are, like, things aren't mass produced. So
they're not mass produced, right.
That'll be useful.
Yeah.
They walk through the yard several times. It looks like the direction incoming is from the street.
Okay.
Is there anything like a maker's mark in the impression of the shoe?
Good thing to ask for. There's not, but the sole tread itself, once again, may be unique.
Okay.
Yeah, so, what do we have to record these,
Well, I'm going to assume that everybody has basically a basic field bag, so you could make a plaster cast of it if you wish.
That sounds good.
That would sound like a great idea.
Yeah, who asked that?
That was me, Obrick.
Obrick, take a fate point.
Mm. All right. We're winning.
All right, so we'll do that, and
Oh, and Bert, can I check the time of death on the body? Like, can I? Do I have my, I assume I have my thermometer with me. I can
take the liver temperature. Yeah. Yeah. You. You can't get it down to. You know, it's not incredibly accurate at this point in time, but you can narrow it down to somewhere between 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to about, you know, an hour ago. So you got about a 2 hour window in there.
Okay. And what time is it now?
Between 6 and 8. Right now it's about 8:40 in the morning or
okay.
so.
Okay. All right.
And well, you said the milkman came by around 7-ish.
7.
Mm-hmm. He found the body then. So that's in the time of death range.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think we have a few leads to follow if people want to split up and go check those out. We have the restaurant place, the pharmacy, and then there's the old lady across the street, and then the trade and craft guild as well.
Yeah.
Well, we should also check the clothes for Maker's Marks as well, especially that one suit.
Yep.
Sure. Actually, you'll pull the tags or just Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
John, you had something?
Yeah, just because I'm in the kitchen right now looking around. Now I'm doing a much more in-depth look because I see all this Earl Grey tea and all that stuff. I'm wondering, does it look like two people lived here?
Other than the two rooms and the not having the same type of clothing, you wouldn't think so because, you know, looking at the storage in the cupboards and looking what's in the ice box, it looks like similar taste. You know, it's okay. Like all the tea is Earl Grey. All the bread is the same type, you know. And so it doesn't actually look like at least the culinary tastes were different if there were two people living here.
Well, if it is a safe house, then people wouldn't be staying there for very long anyway. So.
Oh, and that, yes. And that information has been imparted. So now the idea of it being a safe house.
I've blogged.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I'm just curious because sometimes, even if you're here in just a short period of time, if you have like a, some people have you know, things they like to eat, you know.
You are correct, but it doesn't seem like it is that way in what you're looking at in the kitchen.
Interesting to know how long this person was here. Because we have two people, and it doesn't look like two people were here. So I'm wondering if the guy just moved in. We'll find out from the old lady, I guess.
There was only one change of clothes in that second room that's got the blackout curtains.
And those were his clothes, right? Those were his size.
In the blackout curtain room, the one set of clothes in there did not match your corpse.
Oh, okay.
That was
the
taller, thinner suit.
So I come walking out, I look at the body while the doc's sticking things into it. And I say, you know, he lives here. He lives here. He's the cover. He stays here all the time.
He could
the other
be
person,
like the...
Yeah, the other person is just a transient. Because I'm looking in the kitchen, this is somebody's taste, and I bet it's his.
Makes sense.
He could be like the safe house manager or something. The guy who takes care of the safe house.
Yeah, we need to find out who is money it for.
Exactly.
All right, so what's your next step?
Go feed Fido.
Who wants to go talk to the nosy neighbor? I would like to go to Pasternak's personally.
Actually, quickly, Bert, I run back in the kitchen. Does it have an ice cooler? Chest?
It's got an ice box, yes.
Any sausages or cured meats?
Sure.
I cut off a little hunk. Mm-hmm. I have something to prime the pooch with.
Before you prime the pooch, just make sure you talk to the owner first.
I know. I'm going to put it in the old pocket.
Well, actually, why don't you and I go over and talk to the nosy neighbor and then head over to the restaurant?
There you go.
And do the rest of us want to go to the pharmacy, Ben?
All right. Sure. There's also the shoes and the tailors, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brianna and Lance are going to talk to the neighbor, and the rest of you guys are going to go to the pharmacy first.
Okay.
Out of the three of you guys, Mary, Eric, and Aubrey, which of you had your own transportation?
Eric
has. I have my very fast car that I don't know how to drive.
I have a very fast customized car that I do know how to drive, but it's not doesn't have comfy leather seats.
I took a cat, so.
Right, so you can ride along with one or the other. And Lance and Brianna, did you both take the public transit?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, you would be without a car, so it might be useful if someone with a car stayed behind for you.
Yeah, I'll go with, we'll split up so we got one car with each group then.
Okay. Okay. I'm still not familiar with everyone's voices, so who just said that?
That was me, Grimpen, or okay, Eric. Eric.
Okay, so Eric, you're staying with them.
I'll stay behind.
I'm going to go to the pharmacy. Okay.
All right.
So we will do the neighbor first, since we're already with it.
And I'm going to do a little med gaming here. Sharon, what's Brianna's rapport?
4.
Never mind. But I'll go walk up first. I'm actually going to try to create an advantage for her.
Okay. What do you want to do?
I'm going to go and say, "Oh, such a nice little doggy you have there, madam. Does your dog bite?" I do the old hold the back of my hand out so the dog can sniff.
Okay. Are you presenting the beef just yet or not?
Not yet, but remember, this is the hand I touched it with.
Right. Okay, no. I won't actually have you roll for that since you kind of had it set up. So I will say, yes, you can create advantage here. The dog licks your hand. The woman at first looks very sternly at all of you, not sure why you're invading her block. But after the dog accepts you.
Yeah. Oh, I pet, chuck her in the chin, and, may I give her a treat? Him or her? I'm close enough, I can tell.
It's her. The woman says, "Well, it's about time that you all are doing something about this neighborhood. Do you know that my paper went missing today as well?"
Oh, that's horrible.
I blame that boy over there. Always driving that monstrosity of his through my neighborhood. It's so early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Wonder people can sleep here at all.
Yes. Wait, what's your dog's name?
Pebbles.
Pebbles. May I give Pebbles a treat?
She looks at you a little suspiciously, but nods her head.
Reach in my pocket, put out a little bit of, put a little chunk of little meat I cut off. Is it acceptable?
Oh, yeah, the dog loves it.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm trying to do is, like I said, I'm trying to create an advantage so that when I'm trying to soften her up, basically. Should I roll for that? Should I roll?
No, you don't have to. Since you set it up with the sausage, I'll say you successfully create the advantage. So she's forethought of bringing the sausage. So yes, we have an aspect on her that can be tapped.
Let's put that. Let's write it up.
The dog likes you. So
there you go. I'll write it up. The dog likes you. I got the dog likes you. Yeah. Yeah. But did we get a free tap?
Just one free tap. Yes. There you go.
One free tap. Okay. There you go. I was hoping to get more than one free tap. Oh well. There it is. The dog likes you. All right. So. Brianna?
Yes. Hi, miss. Your dog is adorable. Her name is Pebbles?
The dog is chowing down on the dye underneath your thing. There is what's left on it to be tapped. All right, so we'll just remove it when it's pulled.
Yeah. Okay. On the very salty meat.
Yes, so I understand that someone stole your newspaper today?
Yes, and I know it was stolen because I heard the truck come through this morning, just like it always does. And there's no paper to be found.
Oh, what time does the truck come through in the morning?
5:30 on the dot.
5:30? And the milk truck comes around about what time?
Oh, different times. Usually somewhere between 6:30 and 7:30, somewhere in there. I'm not always awake. But this morning I was.
Okay. And you heard the truck come by, threw out your paper, and there was no paper.
There was no paper.
I write this down and make a point of writing this down in the notebook. And can I just get your name, ma'am, so I can fill out this complaint?
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth. Thank you. Okay. Did you know your neighbor very well at all?
An unlikable chap. Never so much as a hello or a good morning. No, not at all. Always got his face in a book or in a newspaper. No time at all for the subtle niceties.
Oh, that's very rude. Did he live there by himself? Was there more than one person there?
Oh, he has guests coming and going, but no, Mr. Grant's lived there, maybe a year now.
Oh.
We got a name.
Okay, yes. Great, Mr. Grant's, the medium build fellow? Youngish?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Huh.
What's happened over there, by the way? It's the milk boy, wasn't it? He stole their paper, too. That's why all these police are here. Do they really have to put up that tape, though? It takes them so long to take it down.
Absolutely. No.
Oh, I know. I will make sure that I attach a note saying that they should take this down as soon as possible.
That should get it done in 6 months.
Yes. But it just, you have a beautiful neighborhood, and the tape just detracts from it. I totally understand.
Exactly. So what is going on over there? She kind of gets closer and voice gets lower in a conspirational tone.
Well, I can't really tell you. The police want me to keep it pretty hush-hush.
It's got to do with those foreigners, isn't it?
Foreigners? Which foreigners?
All right, here's where you give me a rapport roll.
Okay.
And remember, you can take advantage of that free tap there if you want it from The Dog Likes You.
Okay, do I have to pick that now or after I roll?
After. You can do it after if you want, yeah.
That is a 5.
Oh, yeah, that's plenty enough. Okay, so what do you say to her after she has said her bit there? It's those foreigners, isn't it?
It might be. Could you tell me about the foreigners?
Well, I don't know. It's just there's so many different ones coming to visit Mr. Grant all the time. All the time.
Can you tell what nationality?
Well, they're foreigners.
Oh, I know.
That last man, he was a Frenchie. I know he was.
Ooh, French. Why would it
be? That one suit was tall and thin.
Is tall and thin?
Yeah. That's a good description. But I knew he was a Frenchman. Those bug eyes and the way he smelled. I knew it was him. I knew he was a Frenchman. You know what they say about those French people. All those experimentations they do over there. Odd sort.
Experimentations?
Shouldn't be in my neighborhood.
No. No, we'll definitely look into that. Was he staying there? Or did he have a place nearby? Or just came and went.
Well, you know, I'm not always looking through the windows, said in the way that makes you know that she's always looking through the windows. but he came by a few days ago. He would come and go. I think he was probably a house guest. He never brought luggage, though.
Oh, that's very strange.
That I saw, of course.
Yes, of course, but that is very strange. You didn't happen to learn his name, did you?
No. I said hello and was trying to be neighborly and all. I brought by some milk and cookies. Of course, we all get the milk from the same place, but wouldn't even answer the door. Just gave me a good day through the keyhole.
How rude.
Very. This was a good neighborhood until Mr. Grant walked in.
Well, it will still be a good neighborhood.
Hey, Bert, quick question, if it's not too distracting.
Go ahead.
What skill would you use for doing sketches or drawings or something like that? Would craft cover it?
Craft would cover it. Yeah, if you have an aspect that might make you a little bit better at drawing, that would help, but craft would cover
it. No, not really. Not really. I'm just thinking if we got her to describe the Frenchman, do the police sketch thing.
And this is Eric?
Yes.
Yes. Sure, you want to try your hand at doing a police sketch sort of thing?
If the rest of you guys, if Sharon will do the talking.
Yes. Well, do you think you could just, do you think this, you could describe this Frenchman so my colleague can maybe make a sketch of him?
Okay. Well, go ahead and roll me a craft roll. Let's see how well you do here.
All right.
God, to me,
looks like it's a blank. Craft is 4. I'm wondering if I should take something. No, I think I'll let the...
You rolled even. 5. So
yeah, I rolled even. That's still 4.
So 4 is a really good number. Yep. Well, you make a very good picture of what she's describing, but to be honest, all of you are kind of looking at what she's drawing, and she's given just a very generic, kind of almost a caricatured version of what people think French people look like.
It's a beret.
Big nose. Big nose, you know, bug eyes. Yeah.
But she did get the suit, the spare set of clothing that you found in the bedroom.
Yep.
She does describe the suit very well.
Okay, that's good.
That is good. Yep. Yes.
He was wearing, in particular, she makes note that his shirt had no collar. That was very, very inappropriate.
No collar? Not even a tearaway?
Not even the tabs. No collar at all.
Oh.
That's totally 90s. Unfashionable.
Yeah. Very unfashionable.
It's after Labor Day, too.
Yes.
All right.
Please tell me she didn't describe him wearing white shoes as well.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Can I do a quick sketch of our victim, too, while this conversation is happening? I can pass that to Sharon if she wants to confirm that's Mr. Grant.
Yes. Yes.
I assume that you don't draw Mr. Grant post-death.
I don't know. I do have a...
Do you recognize that staff? Better at relief.
You put a smile on his face, you know.
Actually, you know what? That's a good point. I know you suggested it, but better at relating to machines than people. Pay attention to detail. Oh, I put in an aspect there. Pay attention to details if that's okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking I might have done that.
You drawn dead.
I wanted to document the scene as we found it.
Right.
And like after I'd already probed him too, so he's all cut up and stuff.
You draw him as Brianna's holding his head up so you can get a shot of his face.
If that's the picture you pass me, I do not pass that.
Well, I'm thinking if you're finished talking here, I might actually interject at this point. Is this Mr. Grant's?
Yeah. She looks at the picture, horrified.
It might end the conversation, though.
Oh, I've been talking bad of a dead person. So that's your confirmation. She's feeling guilty that she has talked poorly of a dead person.
No, you will help us catch who did this to him.
It was the milkman! See if he doesn't have my paper in that truck.
We will check for your paper. Thank you so much for your time.
Right.
Okay, before we head off to the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. I want to take a very quick look around the house and see if there is a paper, like today's paper, laying somewhere.
There is no paper.
Okay.
So we might be dealing with something that's a red herring. The guys might have used the paper truck, or the truck she thought was the paper truck might have been their transport.
A good question. Does anyone have a paper on the street?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
All right. Since Lance asked it first, take a chip, Lance. You do a little door knocking on the other three houses on this cul-de-sac. No one's received their paper today.
So that would fit with the... They took the paper.
So that would be about 5:30 in the morning, so at least we have a decent time frame. Okay. Onward!
So while you guys were doing that, we will switch over to Manny and Aubrey, who have gone to the pharmacy. It's a few blocks away, more downtown, out of the residential area.
And I'm sure Aubrey is scared for his life as I'm swerving through traffic.
Are you trying to drive like a maniac? Remember, there's no real driving laws per se. You just
I just try not to hit people. That's my one rule.
All right.
So,
yeah, there's not really any speed laws or anything like that. Just, you know, few enough people actually own and use cars that just don't kill anyone with it.
Take me, wealthy old man. Yeah, they're wealthy enough. So, yeah,
exactly. All right. So you arrive at Larson's. He's the druggist chemist for this neighborhood. Still fairly early in the morning, so it doesn't have there's a few older people sitting here getting their medications filled. Other than that, the store is fairly devoid of people.
Yes, I'm running low on cocaine, so, you know.
Bert, do I know this guy, being a medical professional like I am?
Do you have contacts?
I do not. I mean, I can add it in, though.
Yeah, if you want to add it into a level, I'll let you roll for it to see if you know him.
Okay, yeah, we'll say my contacts is fair.
Okay, sure.
And I'll roll. All right, that is...
Nice, five.
Five.
Yeah, right. Okay. Sure. You've, Mr. Larson, you've had call to, use his services before. He's a little on the pricier side for some of his drugs, but he does keep, some of the more not so common medications on the shelf. So Mr. Larson will actually, after he's done with a client that's in front of you, he'll give a big smile. Ah! Mr. Rasmussen! Are you back for the laudlum today, are you?
I walk up and I give him a big hug.
At least he's going to say, are you here for your mercury treatment?
I know, I'm not here for my my usual order, and I give him a wink. My associate here has some quick questions for you, if you don't mind, old friend.
Oh, sure. He sticks his hand out to you, Aubrey. Says,
hey, well,
Douglas Larson, nice to meet you, Mr.
Talent, Aubrey Talent.
Mr. Talent, what can I do for you? Any friend of Manny's?
Well, Manny, do you have those pills?
I produce the pills and hand them to Larson.
Oh, yeah, these are mine. My willow bark special. It's not as good for toothaches as, say, the good old cocaine is, but it'll do. He looks over him and says, actually, give me a minute here. He turns the tin over and references a number on the tin. And he says, this is Mr. Grant's order.
Oh,
picked it up last week.
Mr. Grant, okay. When did he pick them up last week, you said?
On a Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. So does Mr. Grant come in here often?
Oh, yeah. Chronic migraines. Tried just about everything. Seems these seem to do well by him.
Can you just describe him really quickly for me? Just curious.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who's talking now?
This is Manny.
Oh, this is Manny talking. All right. Yeah. So he gives you the description of what Mr. Grant looks like. Medium height, medium build, young, you know, late 20s, early 30s.
Hole in the chest. No.
Sans the hole in the chest. Right. He says something was a little different that day. He pulls his ledger open. He shows you the ledger. He says, there were a few other medications he asked for that aren't his usual.
Which medications?
Since you're a doctor going through the list, basically he got a syrup for like sore throat, and he got something for a cough. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Some throat lozenges and something like an expectorant.
Okay. Did Mr. Grant ever bring anyone else with him to the pharmacy?
No, Mr. Grant's not a man of many words. Talked very little.
I see. Aubrey, do you have anything else to add? I can't think of any more questions. We know his name is Mr. Grant now. That'll be useful. I'm sure the other group didn't figure that out.
I guess, did he always pay in cash? Did he have an account?
Oh, no, he's got an account.
Could we have the account number? I give him a wink.
This is where you're gonna use a rapport roll to try and convince him that he should give you someone's bank account.
Can we show him our badges or something? Can we show him our?
Oh, if you want to do that, he doesn't actually know that you're an investigator.
Yeah, business has been a little slow lately, Larson. So I've had to moonlight as a investigator for the guilds, and I give him a look like, oh yeah, I know. And so I show him my badge.
Oh, yep. He touches the side of the nose. I'll keep that in confidentiality, Mr. Rasmussen. Not good for that sort of thing to leak out. I understand. So he writes down the account number for you.
Okay, I think that's it, unless you have anything else.
No, I think that gives us another lead.
All right. Well, thank you, Larson. I pat him on the back, and I'll be back tomorrow for my my order. Give him a wink.
Of course.
And I guess we leave.
All right. And as you're leaving, Lance, Brianna, and Eric will pull up just as you're finishing with your business there to get everyone back together here.
Are we with the non-driver or are we with the driver?
Eric, I think Eric drove but was not good at it.
No, Manny's the one who's not
Manny's
good.
Manny's
Eric, no, Eric is. Yeah, Eric, I've got Eric's got a driver straight.
Okay, yes, you're with the driver then.
Yeah.
And I've got some aspects that might help too in a pinch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even have a stunt. Pedal to the metal. Yes, and ramming speed. So we're gonna get wherever we're going fast. Even if we don't need to.
I blah. I blah when they pull up.
We blah back.
Blah okay. Blah. Wah 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 wah.
So I have a few contacts in the trade and craft guild, and I could probably follow up on this account number as well and try to figure out where that came from. If you all want to check out, is that Pasternax, right, Bert?
Pasternax, yep.
Pasternax.
Yeah. And just for sake of moving things along a little faster, Manny can do that from a portable phone, so you can still be with everyone while you're doing it.
Okay. Yeah.
I get this. It's in his trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About what time of day is it now?
It's still before noon.
Okay, it's still before noon. One other thing while you're making phone calls, can you call and see if there was a problem with newspaper delivery this morning?
Yeah, I think I know a guy in the newspaper company. I'm sure I can, I filled out a prescription or two, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
Is Manny one of these doctors that sells prescriptions?
he's not the best guy. Let's just say that. He's not the...
I'm in trouble making
I'm sure the payment is for the consultation.
I mean, yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah, he's a pharmacy, buccaneer. Let's just say,
in the books, it looks perfectly legal and fine. So, we're good. We're safe.
Yes, I'm suffering from shell shock.
Yeah, he has a toe ache, so I give him a lot of
morphine. All right, so Manny,
you're making of heroin. Yeah,
you're making a call to the newspaper office. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So what you find out is, you find out that the delivery truck for that neighborhood hasn't reported back in this morning. Car is not in the auto pool, and the driver hasn't reported back in.
We may be dealing with two murders now.
He's very milkman.
It was the milkman the whole time. Could I also make a call to the bank, to my friend in the bank, and try to figure out what that account number is all about?
Since you're doing this over the phone, you can't flash a badge over the phone. I will have you make a contact roll here.
Okay, so I have money talks, though.
Oh, but you can't give them money over the phone either.
I can try.
So let's have a contact roll first, and let's see how you do.
Sure.
Let's clear some dice off first.
Yeah.
There you go. I got them.
Okay.
Mr. OCD.
Okay, so... four fudge roll, and then my contacts is +2.
You end up with a 3.
Yeah.
Sure, you know someone at the bank. Probably the person who handles your account, so he would know you're, fairly affluent. Ah, Mr. Rasmussen! Always a pleasure to hear from you!
Oh, Mr. Johnson, I have a favor to ask of you, good sir.
Of course!
So I give him the number, and I'll tell him that the next next prescription's on me, and that I ask him to see what he can find out about it.
All right, yeah, he says, "Oh, let me just type it into the Babbage here, and let's find out what we come up with." And after a moment, he says, "Oh, that's very interesting. He seems to be hesitant now. He says, well, I can confirm this is an account at the bank. So what do you want to do to sweeten the pot here? Because now he's sounding like he's found your information, but doesn't think he wants to tell you.
So could I make an aspect and tap it?
Sure. What aspect do you want to make?
I'm going to tap the aspect kind of a drug dealer.
Right. Nice.
That's plus two. So like, I'm the kind of guy where if you help me, I'll help you. But if you like, you go against me, it's not a very good idea.
Nice. Okay, so that'll cost a fate point, but that'll bump it up by two. Yeah, sure, that's enough. So you remind him.
You're a valued customer.
Exactly.
Well, it seems, and his voice has gotten a little quieter so that people can't overhear him on the other end. Looks like this is a guild account, actually. This account... this belongs. Sorry, I gotta look at my note here real quick. Where the heck did I put it?
On that page.
Yes. Belongs to Trade and Craft. In fact, this account is owned by Mr. Saunier personally, who's the head of Trade and Craft.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's even a French name.
From my lore, do I know my great lore? Do I know what Mr. Saunier looks like?
Actually, all of the heads of the guilds are very public figures, so everyone would know. Yeah, no, Mr. Saunier is not would not be described as tall and thin.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I think that's all for today.
We're still on for next Wednesday, right? I'm starting to shake a little. Is that normal?
Oh no, yes, perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. It'll pass, maybe. And then I hang up quickly.
He's been taking it too much. He's getting resistance.
So I take it you guys are still in two different cars, but you're following one another to wherever location you're going next.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is Pasternak's, I believe.
Yeah, and you say follow. Yeah, as we were following. Yeah, he turned right on the next street. Catch him in our street, cross street now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I should probably
split up for the newspaper.
Oh yeah, that too.
So what do you want to do about
that? Might be something we want to be split up for though.
I mean, they won't. There isn't like a place we can look.
Thinking it might be a time sensitive.
But they won't the newspaper. We like where would we look for them?
Yeah, that's,
no GPS on the trucks.
Yeah, and like they wouldn't go back to the newspaper.
Yeah, that's right.
Could we actually ask the cops to keep an eye out? See if they
put like an APB or something.
Let's look for an abandoned newspaper van.
APB, suspicious newspaper van.
Sure, and so you'll call up basically your police liaison, who will they. You know, grudgingly, she will have a bulletin put out for the news van. She will get in contact with the newspaper office to get a proper registration number, etc. for it. And yes, they will give you a call back. This number will be all right?
Yes.
Certainly.
Is this the portable phone? Or
this is still the portable in the car. You're still doing this while you're driving.
That'll be fine.
I can see it now. Sir, your car's ringing.
Exactly.
And then there's the wax cylinder goes down and says, this is recorded message. I'm not available right now. After the beep, please leave a message.
At this time, your contact is, will still be Miss Blair. So it's Miss Blair you get a hold of on the phone as the guild and police liaison. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do I fill out prescriptions for Miss Blair?
No.
Okay, all right. Just checking. Just asking.
Miss Blair, mayor, maybe hard nosed.
She probably would not approve sort of thing. My practices.
Okay, so Pasternak's is the next place you're headed to.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
Now is that Pastor NAX?
PASTRNAK. Pasternak.
Oh, Pasternak.
Is it a person? Is that a person, or is that?
It is. It is, and it's also the name of his restaurant, which is the most fabulous establishment in Metapole by his, press.
Well, considering I have no resources, I've never eaten here.
Probably not. It's a really expensive place.
But is it open for lunch? That's the real question.
They'll probably still be setting up yet. They're likely not opened yet, you know. Mm. You are guild investigators.
Now, is this one of those restaurants where they have seatings? Do they have seatings?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So there's no menu. You sit and they serve you.
You will often have the choice of one thing or another. You know, just for those people that cannot eat pork or or have seafood allergies. But that's pretty much the limit of your choices.
And you'll know if you're having seafood because they'll have the little fork.
So Pasternak has a large parking area, and there is an elevator that you take up to. It's a Zeppelin tether, basically. The restaurant is built into a Zeppelin that is permanently moored here above Metapole. So,
not at all creepy.
I was going to say cool, but
yeah. You take the elevator up, and it doesn't take a huge amount of time, but the elevator does have exposed sides. You've got a roof for weather that overhangs, but so you've got a great view of Metapole as it rises through the tower. Rather unsafe, but
now here is the real question: who's the one that is the best dressed among us all?
Lance. My description is dignified, articulate, and fashionable. I have the only person dressed in the Lance fashions.
Okay,
how I can afford the damn things, I can't tell you. But
you have admirers that pay for
these.
Yes. All right, Lance. Then you will deal with the person at the when we get off the elevator, because I have a sneaking suspicion the rest of us aren't quite up to snuff dress-wise.
I think Lance should have the gigolo aspect.
Yeah.
Yes, which means that I'm going to have to hang off of his arm. So
he does. His actions are graceful. All the girls he does please.
There you go.
Okay, and if that's the case, I'm going to have to take flirtatious as an aspect.
Even though I do have good resources, I'm not really dressed the part.
Yep, shabby. Drug dealer can't look too good.
You know what? This calls for a contact
gold
role.
Chains.
Do I know the bouncer? The maitre d'. Do I know the maitre d'?
Oh, you might. You have contacts?
I have contacts at +1.
Sure. Go ahead, give me a roll. Let's find out.
Oh, my God.
You may have been brought here on one of your dates.
I rolled a 5.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Larry.
I have eaten here.
Yeah. Larry is...
Yeah, so be what your usual...
Oh, no, it's not Larry. It's Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay.
It's Larry outside, you
exactly.
know.
But here, in the establishment, he is Lawrence. Lawrence is the facilitator, you know.
A two-handed shake, you know. Yeah. How's it going? Yeah.
I'll slip him up. Oh, Lance, not your usual company, although he looks at Brianna for a moment. A little short for your normal tastes.
Oh, sadly.
I give him my best smile ever.
I'm afraid, Lance, we're not open quite yet, but I could certainly fit you on the reservation list.
Maybe later. I do have a rendezvous later tonight, so maybe later. But I'm actually on the clock. I reach in my pocket and, flip out the badge.
Oh! I thought that was just a line. You really are one.
Hey, they know town when they see it. Ooh, are the ropes still out there? I always love to entertain. It's a Zeppelin. It's got to be at least a couple guidelines to the tower.
Of course, yes, of course.
But maybe later. So,
let's not have this conversation out in the lobby. Come on.
No.
I'll get a booth for you. Perhaps I can scramble up. Have you eaten yet? I'm sure I can get the cook to bring something small
out. No. Manny comes forward. No, we haven't.
That's
right. He basically takes you guys to the staff room, which is still quite nice, but it's not out where, customers could see, of course. Not that there are any yet.
Yeah.
And some... you know, so some brunch is brought out to you.
See, is this 19, this is what, 1930s, 1940s?
1800s.
1800s.
But
okay,
you got technology
yes.
from the 1900s as well.
Yeah, so Demi tosses a coffee.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and, oh, okay, American fare, French fare, British fare.
Oh, Pasternak says, you know, they are an international cuisine. But since you're here before hours, the cook just basically rustles up some stuffed omelets and...
since Manny doesn't trust their coffee, he pulls out his thermos.
That's the thing.
I look at it. I just give you this look as I sip my demitasse, you know, of espresso.
It is incredibly good food, even though it was just rustled up and without all the fanfare that Pasternak is known for. It's
oh, and
good stuff.
Tell the chef I love the truffles.
truffles in it. Yes. Are we all being fed?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
In that case, I'll be stuffing my face. And, this is really good.
This is probably fair. That yeah, this is incredible stuff.
I will keep. I tell
the maitre d'. It's so good that you're treating us like this. Oh, on the house too.
It's like, well, I'll settle up with Lance at another time.
Yes, and I will maintain.
Don't have
some
that phone number for me, right, Lance? The blonde
of
last
course
week.
I
yeah.
Do. Oh yes, yes, and you know what? We can probably per diem it. You know, shaking the badge.
Of course.
So, of course.
Put it on, Blair, Officer Blair.
No, no. What was his name? The guy, the officer back at the house?
Officer number 5?
Yes. Yeah,
number
you never
five.
Hear of his name, just number 5.
I hope, I say to aside, I'm good with aside, numbers. I hope you've collected a few more badge numbers, because I suspect this is more than a one person per diem.
yeah.
So, Lawrence will sit down and he will have, he will take lunch with you as well, as he's not needed right now. Well, Lance, what can I do for you? This is an official investigation, I take it.
Did we ever get his name, his full name, other than just Grant?
Nope, just Mr. Grant. Actually, no, the people that went to the drugstore would have got his whole name. So, Edward Grant.
We're here about Mr. Edward Grant. I don't suppose you know of him? He had one of your cigarette cases in his hand.
Mr. Grant? I don't recall.
I give him a quick description.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's fairly, you know, like I said, he was generic height, generic, et cetera. But you do have this nice pencil drawing.
I do have a drawing.
Yes.
Hand goes out, push that drawing down.
he might have been dining here with a taller, thinner Frenchman.
Okay, take out the other drawing.
Nice. Oh, he certainly looks French, doesn't he?
I'm facepalming at this point.
Yeah. I take it your Mr. Grant is deceased by this drawing. No, I can say with certainty that this man has not come to Pasternak's, at least not since I have worked here.
I saw his suit. I described the suit.
Of the Frenchman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've also got a good drawing of the suit too. The Frenchman.
This suit's a little more accurate, probably.
Yeah. The suit. Well, it's hard to tell from this drawing. I mean, it looks like a Frenchman to be sure, but I can't say.
I start making comments on how it should be different and so forth, and it's.
Unfortunately, the only thing you got a good description of was just his suit. You never got a great description of the Frenchman other than he's tall and thin.
Yes.
And he's French.
And he's French.
Well, we don't even know if he's French.
Yeah.
We just know the lady was kind of racist. So.
Out of character, question for the GM. Mm-hmm. Mr. Grant was on the mailing list for Pasternak's, correct?
Yes, he was.
Yes. So, Mr. Lawrence, so how would one get on the mailing list here?
Oh, it's a very private list. What's the address?
Bah.
Yeah.
sure. He comes back with, Actually, this is a top facility. He has a Babbage machine. He goes and makes his punch card with the address exactly, and pretty soon it shoots out a. Oh, this is some joke, right?
No.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you see? Maybe we all will have a good laugh.
He hands you the printout. The address and the mailing on there. While the name has been asked to be, you know, just address the, you know, like if you remember the mail, it was just to resident.
Yeah.
But he's listed in their system as the Mr. Saunier is the owner of that address.
Huh.
Oh, the plot thickens. Just like the pudding. Mm.
Mr. Lawrence, could you do me a favor? Could you just look through your list of like reservations really fast in the past few days and see if you could find Mr. Grant, see if he's been here?
Oh, I'm certain he hasn't by that name.
Mr. Saunier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be on the safe side, we have ascertained that Mr. Grant is not Mr. Saunier.
Yes. Okay. Sure. So with a little bit of more use on the Babbage machine, he does, you know, they're not the same person. Mr. Saunier himself has not been here, this month, but, his account has been used many times, but that is typical.
Okay. I've been here enough times to know, do they have, I'm not going to call it takeout. It's going to be more like catering.
Yes. Do they cater? Yes, they do cater.
Was there any catering? Orders for this address.
Oh, that's a good question. take a chip, John. As a matter of fact, they did have a delivery just yesterday. To this address.
I look at the menu. Is it something? Is it very French?
Oh yes, it is. Yes.
Oh wait, delivery person.
Bottle of wine, and yes, certain
was it for
stinky
was it,
cheeses, and
was it for one or was it for two?
It was for one.
Mm.
And we didn't see any, and we didn't see anything like, you know, leftover dishes or whatever.
No, you didn't.
Nope. Oh, of course, your catering is probably more like I said, catering. He probably comes back and gets the dishes.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, I want to ask him about. Can we talk to your delivery person?
Sure. You guys are basically right next to the kitchen anyway. So
yeah.
Yep. And sure. He finds a person who had delivered yesterday. Young man, well dressed, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I reach out and make an adjustment. And
your bow tie is a little limp on the left.
Yes. You made a delivery to this address yesterday. Do you remember who picked it up?
Yes. Man about yay tall. He describes Mr. Grant. That's who answered the door.
You didn't see anyone else besides the individual?
No.
Can I roll empathy real quick?
Sure.
See if he's telling.
I can actually make a notice roll because I actually can do body language reader.
That's fine. You can do that too.
Yep. So we'll both roll, but you probably do better than me.
Okay. That is.
Yeah, you did better than I did.
Yeah, that's 5 plus 5.
Wow. Okay. All right.
-1.
with the empathy, his body language, you just can't read it. He is being very stiff and formal, so he's giving away nothing. But with the empathy, he's not really lying to you, but you get the idea that he's holding something, something was different that day that he hasn't really told you, but you can kind of see him hesitate just a moment, although he doesn't voice it. He says, no, just Mr. Grant. I came back a few hours later to retrieve the serving trays.
And, Bert, just quick, out of character question. What's the money like in this? It's like, is it paper bills?
Yeah.
And are there
unless things are credited to accounts, but
right.
That happens too.
And is there like what kind of art is there on the bills? Is it like faces of famous people or?
Here, no, it's all guild currency.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just got, like, the guild stamp on it all. It's all, you know, signed by the treasurer of the guild, that sort of thing.
And I pull out a five, put it in his pocket, said, you know, really appreciate it if you help us out here. We're kind of at a loss.
Right. Well, he takes the five. He says, well, this actually reminds me. I thought it was passingly odd that they'd left all the trays and service on their porch when I came back. And didn't leave a tip either.
They?
Well, I heard voices. They were having a discussion, perhaps. Of course, I would never eavesdrop on anyone.
I look over at Manny and nod.
just a quick question. Was their discussion in English?
Well,
and then
partially.
I put another five in his pocket. On the off chance that you may have overheard something.
Wow. Partially. One man spoke in a very thick accent. But they were both speaking English. It seemed that one person was getting agitated about being stuck in such a stuffy place, something similar, and that he hopes transportation would be arranged soon. Not that I would, you know, listen into a private conversation.
Interesting.
All right, well, thank you. I don't think we have any more questions. Unless anyone does, in which case
I could think of a couple. So Mr. Sonia hadn't been in a month, but we should see if we can get him to describe Mr. Sonia, see if that matches.
Once again, the heads of the guilds are well known.
It would be like turning over George Bush or Obama at that, you know, at that point.
Ah! Yeah. Just trying to think of some way of getting a description of that French fellow. Oh, well.
So, wait, you delivered food for one, but they left out trays for two?
No. They left out trays for just one. He said it was odd that they left the trays on the porch instead of just, you know, giving it to him at the door.
Now,
because,
Mr.
you know,
Sonny
it is silverware.
Yes. Maybe that was the tip.
And is there, Bert, is there any kind of, like, DNA stuff at this time or no?
No, Watson and Crick haven't come to Metapole yet. This is before all that happened, so there's no
analysis. Just one more question. Was all the silverware returned?
Yes.
Was
of
there
course,
a
it
knife
wouldn't
missing?
Have been a problem if it wasn't returned. We would have just
longer,
had put it on the bill. Okay. So you asked specifically about a knife. Steak knife, yes, it was returned.
Oh, okay.
who drew the picture real quick?
That was Eric.
Eric, do you want to just show him the picture just to confirm that he was the same person?
I'll show him the picture of,
This is one of those games that has sanity as a mechanic. You would definitely be blowing people's sanity. Yeah. Yes, now he is horrified that someone he just delivered food to is dead. Yes. Surely it wasn't the food!
He delivered food.
No. It was a heart attack.
Generous.
poor Mr. Grant died of a heart attack.
So Mr. Sonia's account was used to pay for meals that were delivered. Did anyone ever, other than Mr. Sonia, use his account? Delivered to the house, sorry.
Yes.
I'm just thinking if someone may have come to the restaurant and died on Mr. Sonia's account without Mr. Sonia's permission. Because he did say that the account was used. But Mr. Sonia hadn't been into the restaurant in a month.
Yes, but it is also common that they have open accounts because they entertain a lot at establishments like this. Yeah. So it's not an unusual occurrence.
Has anyone been in the restaurant on Mr. Sonia's account recently? In the past week, say?
To the restaurant? No. Just the delivery was made on his account.
Just the delivery. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I lean back, you know, finish off my omelet, you know. So then I think, you know, we need to talk to Mrs. Sommier.
Yeah. Or at least somebody
I think we do.
Guild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should probably check the we should check the messages on my portable phone too to see if the APB got picked up or something, or the that they saw the van around.
You have to check your car for messages. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the wax cylinder is completely full.
Yeah, it's attached to the car alarm, so I know the car alarm if it's going off.
You probably have like a handset in the front with your steering wheel, but like the phone itself is actually the entirety of your trunk.
Yes.
All right. And you don't know this car has a self has a phone in it, except for the aerials in the back.
Yes. All right. So I check the messages in my car.
Okay, so you guys are done in Pasternax before we do that?
Yeah. I shake hands with Lawrence and and tell him, yeah, I'll see about that blonde. Yeah. And don't worry, we'll get this covered. We may even put on someone's account.
Exactly. All right, so sure, you actually do have your car has the has a buzzing telling you that you have a message left.
Well, I assume it's actually two messages. The first message is one of my associates saying that someone hasn't paid yet. So I'll have to take care of that later. But what is the second message first?
The second one, the police have found the delivery truck, and they actually ask that you meet them at a location that is now a crime scene.
Oh.
Should we surprise. Go there,
or should we talk to Mr. Saulnier?
We got to make an appointment for that. We need to make an appointment for that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So should we go ahead and call in and make an appointment and then head over to the van?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay.
You can do that.
We do that.
All right. The van, you actually arrive there fairly quickly. It's just a few blocks away. Along with the police tape already being rolled out all over the place, there is a medical van there. And it seems that there is a great deal of care being taken with someone that's being removed out of the back of the newspaper van on a stretcher.
He's not tall and thin, is he?
No, he's not. It's a young man, actually.
It's the driver.
Well, I run over.
The real driver.
I run over. So is he dead or alive? Or?
Show your credentials that you're a doctor and you're with the investigators, etc. He is alive, but barely. He was stabbed, much like Mr. Grant was, although this time they seem to had just nicked his heart. Not enough to kill him, but he was bleeding out. He's in bad shape, but he's still alive. And they've got plasma on him. They've got several people working on him right now.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try to stabilize him using my my medical lore. If that's all right.
Okay. Actually, yeah. Because the people that are here are just like basically first responders. They were going to take him to the hospital.
The hospitals and medical are like death traps.
Some of them are literally death traps. Yes.
Okay. All right.
If you want to ride along in the,
so that
ride is, along the ambulance with them.
Yep.
I think that's plus six, right, Bert? Check.
Yes.
Because I have plus two for medical knowledge and again great lore.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're good. That is a six. Yes, I mean, yeah, he's in bad shape. He definitely needs blood. And he, you're going to have to do surgery to get this, kid, with any chance of living. So you got a choice to make. You can follow with him to the hospital because you certainly can't do surgery out here, non-sterile place, et cetera, with him having any chance of surviving. Or, you could probably get him to arouse enough that you could question him, but then he would likely die.
If you
pump him full of crazy, you
have two vehicles
if you want to follow him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with him to the hospital and, I'll make sure
I'll remember his oath. He remembered his oath.
Yeah.
Do no harm.
I am still a doctor. I have some, and he'll probably be better for us, like, alive and, like, not in a groggy state. So I will, I'll go with him to the hospital and I'll as quickly as possible try to fix him and then wake him up so we can learn stuff.
Okay. All right. So you're going to be away for a bit. Okay. I mean, you've got to do surgery. You got a great role, but I mean, this is still surgery. And he's going to take a little time to convalesce. So I'm going to move you aside
here. Perhaps on the ambulance on the way there, can I have one of my, special prescriptions in my bag with me. Could I perhaps, wake him up a little with it?
I'll tell you what, you got a 6 on your roll. That's enough to get a boost on the situation. So I will say that you can ask him one question.
One question,
or you can ask him one thing. He'll stay conscious enough for that.
Well, they're all with everyone else is with me, right?
If you want to do this right before you get into the back of sure.
Yeah. So does anyone have any what do you think will help us?
The best question I can think of is how they got the van, because we know where it ended up. Yeah, or who did it. He's not going to recognize him though.
Okay. Is that what you're going to go with?
Anyone else got better question to ask?
I mean, we'd have to, like, if we just said who were they, we'd have to, like, hope that he knew who they were.
And he probably doesn't. But does know the circumstances under which the van was.
When I say that he will answer one question, I don't mean that he will do something short. So, I mean, I'm giving you one scene with him. So he will give the information of one central question. So are you asking who? Is that the question?
Yeah, if anyone knows.
If that's the case, we could do the police artist sketch thing again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you want to go for that then?
Yeah, and that'll like also give us the who too, kind of.
Good choice.
Chance to prove your character to art.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take an aspect about drawing here.
So he doesn't know who the attackers were, but he does tell you there were 3 of them. He gives you a very good descriptions of them. And he will actually tell you one more thing before he slips into unconsciousness. They stabbed him. He lost enough blood that he was nearly unresponsive, but still conscious. And they thought he was dead or dying. And he overheard them saying something about meeting the bird of paradise on Monday. But other than that, he also gives you 3 very good descriptions of the men.
Make sure you write them down as well.
All right. So,
I give him some morphine, and I load him onto the ambulance. And I tell everyone else that I will, or where should I ask him where I should meet them?
We can pick you up from the hospital, I think.
Okay.
He meets us at the trade, guild?
Trade and Craft?
Trade and Craft?
Trade and Craft trade Guild. And guild House.
Yeah, do we know when our appointment is?
Not yet. You have not got a call back to confirm your appointment.
Okay, we'll just say that I'll meet you guys there. Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you go off with the
bird. Is Metro? I'm trying to remember the name of the town. Is Metropole or
Metropole?
Metropole. Metropole. Is Metropole landlocked?
It's on the coast. Actually, it has a wharf and a dock.
Time to make a call to the Port Authority and see if there is a ship called the Bird of Paradise.
Ooh, take a ship.
In Monday.
Take a ship. yes. You get a hold of one of White's boys. Mr. White is the foreman of the dock area. You get a hold of Eddie. How you doing? He says over the phone.
Yeah. Doing fine. Yeah. Checking about a boat called the Bird of Paradise. Is that a liner or is that a cargo ship?
Got you a Bird of Paradise, huh? Let me take a look at my logs here. Okay, that's a fishing trolley. Still fishing in dock trolley. Right now.
It is. What's it, who's it? What country is it registered to?
That's an interesting. He looks through it some. Says. It's a French trolley.
Aha. Thank you. And I'll see about, Jezebel, one you liked. See about getting her around you.
Get a name. For the registration.
Not the girl. whatever, buddy.
Whatever, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, what day is it today?
Today's Friday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although if the trawler's Did you say the trawler was in dock right now?
It's in dock. Yep.
It's in dock.
Which means they might skip early if we spook them.
Yeah. Bird of Paradise.
You get a name of who's it? Who it's registered to?
He hung up on me.
All right. So what do you guys do now?
Check the van for clues, I expect. Yeah.
We sue their parties.
See if they left like a change of, I don't know, any sort of gear behind.
But the only thing that was left behind, of course, there's the pool of blood that the newspaper boy was.
All the newspapers.
Yeah. Newspapers. And they tied him up with some rope. When the police found him, they, cut him out, of course. Other than that, it's not really got anything else there. Once again, you've got in the driver's compartment there, you've got some more of the mud, that was on the people's shoes, giving you some more confirmation.
Yeah. I was about to mention, did you get any other Great Hunter. Yeah, I was going to say, Great Hunter, see if there's a vehicle parked here.
Ah, you want to look for tracks of another vehicle.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Because they probably got out and went in something else.
Yeah, and does it look like there was a sign of a fourth person in here? Or fifth person?
A wheelman that didn't get out of the house?
Give me investigation rolls for everyone's checking out the car.
Guy that they kidnapped. Yep. Yeah.
I don't think he was kidnapped.
Aubrey can give me his investigation roll for Aubrey will be to trace the tracks to see if you can figure out if there's another car here.
Zero.
And I still need a craft roll from our artist to see how good of a rendering he can make of the description of the three men.
Oh, yes.
Can
you tap his aspect now?
I'm going to take an aspect that's related to art.
Sure.
Can I give any support to Arbrick?
How so?
Do you
have any kind of... Well, no, I mean, you can do an investigation role as support of his if you want. That's fine.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yep.
So, if I'm correct, she can either give up her action and give him just a straight plus one, yep. Or she can try to create an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this case, you probably, yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's, yeah. That's actually a flat neutral.
Flat neutral, okay. So you're not going to be able to create an advantage for him, but just supporting him, you can do the plus one.
Okay.
I've
got a five for the art, by the way.
Not a problem. You've got three wonderful. I mean, the kids' descriptions were good enough that you got eye color, hairstyle,
Except they're all cut up and dead.
I'm actually going to take an aspect. Landscapes are calming. That's my guy's secret thing is he likes quiet afternoons when nothing's on. He goes to the art gallery and the back of his workshop, there's a little easel set up.
Nice.
People don't understand him, and now that I'm doing all this police art, it makes me feel a little better about dealing with all this stuff.
You're going to start a new police procedure of having sketch artists now. That's going to be a new thing.
That's right.
All right. So how does investigation goes for the people that were looking at the car for Lance?
I guess
Lance the ground zero. Around.
Okay, Lance has got nothing. Okay. Aubrey, you're outside with Brianna. So, Eric, did you give me an investigation roll?
I haven't given you an investigation roll yet. Let me get that dice off there.
You would have been doing the drawing a little while ago, so this.
Yeah, that's right. So, for my investigation, it'll be three.
Nice.
Okay. I'm wondering if I should take that.
The three is good. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Bert, out of character question real quick. I don't know what your policy is. Am I allowed to, give suggestions and stuff even though I'm not there?
I mean, I'm okay with it. That's
okay. All right. Check for footprints. Sorry.
Yes, around the vehicle in the ground.
Yeah, Albrecht and Brianna are on that. They're already doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So inside the car, Eric, you said you got a three?
Yes.
Eric got a three. All right. So Eric, you can definitely tell. Once again, since you made that plaster cast of the footprint earlier, of the really good set, this guy was definitely in the car. The other muddy prints suggest that the other people were here as well. You notice that there likely was another person back here because where the kid was bleeding out, there's places where the blood kind of pooled, like around what looks to be where another person's foot was. So you got kind of the outline of a leg and a foot. And this guy was probably motionless, you're figuring. Oh. Could be dead, could just be unconscious.
Or the I guess the other thing too is when they removed him from the car, did it like drag in the blood? Or was it, because if there's no footsteps, it's probably dragged out. Mm-hmm. And there might be a streak.
Right.
In which case, we can assume he was bound and unwilling.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it looks like this person was dragged through the blood. I see your question there about a bio break, but we're running short on time. So if you guys want to take a really quick break, this is a good time to do it. And I think we can still wrap up on time.
Yeah, if we're done by 6, we're good. Yeah.
Five minutes tops.
All right. We'll go ahead and take a break. And I'll be right back myself as well.
All right.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, BLUMAGIK.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.
It is a center for higher learning. It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls. This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos. We are pleased to present the Miskatonic University Podcast. On our campus, you will learn the deepest secrets of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. From rules mechanics to beings of the mythos and insanities that plague men's minds. Join us at www.mu-podcast.com.